Cattingill.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003. Got a couple of comments on some questions of the day. We'll go over that real simple. What did you think, Pels fans, of what you saw last night? Also, get ready for week five of the NFL as LA, the Rams, are at Seattle tonight. That'll be fun to watch. So the new week in the NFL gets going. It's Fox and NFL Network, by the way. Fox and NFL Network, if you want to watch that game. 6:30, the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team on ESPN2, taking on Jamaica in another World Cup qualifying match. 6:30, ESPN, Tulane, hosting Houston over at Yulman Stadium. We spoke with Corey Glore briefly. He was breaking in and out. But if you want to go check out the Keys to that game and his thoughts, go see his video over at Corey Glore out in front of Yulman, kind of going over it, what he thinks needs to happen again. Can't lose this if you even want to remotely think about bowling. Tulane 1-4, you got to win five of your next seven. That's where the Wave are. Also, they got Major League Baseball, the playoffs, getting ready to get started here in about an hour and 4 minutes. 3-7 first pitch, Sox at the Astros. That one of the ALDS. Game one of the ALDS between the Red Sox and Rays. 7:07 FS1. American League games will be on FS1. National League games will be on TBS. So the Braves and Brewers and the Dodgers and Giants will be on TBS starting tomorrow. AL today, NL tomorrow. That's all just tonight going on, right? Don't forget the app that you have got to download so you can have a little fun. I was actually listening to somebody mentioning at the gym this morning that they had downloaded DraftKings and enjoyed. That's what they do. The official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. You can trust them. The NFL does. And I'm just telling you, look, trust them. Safe, secure, and reliable. So when you deposit your money or withdraw your money, you can trust it. And you can do that, by the way, at any time. Deposit or withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it's fantasy. You know how to work it. If you've ever done fantasy football, imagine being able to make some money off of it every day or on everything in every different sport, right? You pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap. Each player has, you know, monetary digits, you know, next to it. And away you go. Use the code LaRose. If you use the code LaRose, you will get a shot at millions in total prizes with that first deposit. So download the DraftKings app. Use the code LaRose, and away you can go from that aspect of it. All right, yesterday, Saints went to practice for the first day of the week as they get ready for Washington. The injury report, three players, Armstead, McCoy, as you know already, you're not going to see them for a bit. Probably after the bye for sure. And there you go. Those two and Marshawn Lattimore, who practiced fully, and he's listed as hand. That's it. That's your injury report for the Saints. That's good. Now, Nick Underhill, NewOrleans.football, did say that some of the players were hoping to get off of IR or were seeing if they were going to be off of IR, you know, Kenneth Crawley, Quan Alexander, Davenport, you name it. They are not practicing still. They did not practice. Will Lutz. So, look, it's smart. I guess you're the organization. You're looking at it going, get through this week. You got another bye. That's an extra 2 weeks. An extra 2 weeks for Davenport. An extra 2 weeks for Quan Alexander. An extra 2 weeks for Will Lutz. An extra 2 weeks. You know, for everybody else has been on that list, which was lengthy. Traquan Smith, please come back soon. All of that. In the meantime, you got to get ready for this week. And Jameis Winston was touching on some of the things that happened last week. And more importantly, as we all know, right? I mean, the key to learning from what happened last week is finishing.
Yeah, we have to finish. I think that's one of the most important things. Like, with the type of people we have on this team, like, we have finishers. But in a game like that, especially at home, or really wherever you're at, you have to finish as a unit, offense, defense, special teams, and we have to step on our opponent's neck. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, we have to place our will over them and finish that game with a victory.
One of the things that we talked about this week, too, was 11 straight completions. He hits that 11 straight completions, and then they run the ball 14 straight times. Is that a lack of trust? Did you not trust him to close out? So let's approach it from all three different angles. First, on his streak of hitting 11 straight.
Coach really helped me get into a nice rhythm. We got hot, toward the end of the second half. really heading to the fourth. We got real hot there. So I was thankful that he got me into a nice rhythm. But, I mean, some games you're going to have to make plays like that, and some games you just have games like that where good things happen. But, obviously, we didn't win, so.
And as he mentioned earlier, having the kind of performance and good game that he had, doesn't matter if you don't get the W.
This was probably one of my better games this year, but we didn't finish. You know, and I promise you, I'd rather play a game where I didn't like my tape and we win than I play a game where I say, hey, I did okay, and we lose. Like, that's just not in my DNA. Like, I would rather win than anything.
So he gets 11 straight completions, and then they run the football 14 straight times. Were you bothered by that?
I think that's why I said Coach did a great job of helping me get into a rhythm. But, like, man, once you get to the end of the game and you're up by two scores, like, I know as a play caller, like, my thing is, like, let's run it down your throat, right? What does that do? That milks the clock. We got one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and we got one of the best backs in the NFL. So, like, what's the easiest thing? You know, let's protect the football, let's run the football, and let's get some first downs by running the ball and take some time off our defense. You know, that's been our formula a lot, you know, in these first few games. So, it's been working. This game, we just didn't finish. It didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to turn out.
All right, but what about when Taysom Hill comes in? You're completing the passes, you're doing well, you're throwing a touchdown. Ah, holding, it's got to come back. Taysom Hill comes in. Did that bother you?
No, I think it's two different types of energies, man. He's coming in and he can do it all, you know. So I'm room for him. Like, it's all a part of that's our identity that we have. You know, we have some packages where he's getting in there and he's toning the rock. We got some packages where he's getting in and throwing, you know. The part that I play is be able to manage this team, be able to lead us to a win. Like, that's all I'm concerned with. Like, I know that we have a bunch of great players on this team, and we got to use them for our benefit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know, that takes some pressure off of me being able to put Taysom in there and just throwing the uncertainty of, like, what you're going to get when Taysom is in the game. You know, I think that puts us in a lot of positive advantages when he's throwing out there.
Nothing but love for Taysom Hill.
It's marvelous. Like I said, like, I know I talk about this offensive line a lot, which they deserve all the credit. I know I talk about Alvin a lot, but, like, Taysom the same way. Like, when you got a teammate like that is just amazing at everything that they do, you know, that helps out the team. That helps with rhythm. That helps with identity. And it helps, you know, with Sean as a play caller.
Also, you heard him mention a couple of times already about trying to figure out that offensive identity. We've been saying, look, obviously, getting Tre'Quan Smith to an extent, and mind you, he hasn't played at all this season. Michael Thomas, that should help. But what does it say that Kenny Stills literally was watching the first 2 weeks of the season, and the last 2 weeks should have at least one touchdown in the game? Right? Here's Winston on the offensive identity.
I think early in the season, you're always searching for, like, what is that, like how can we best function as an offense? But I think after we, you know, get a nice self-scout after this game and get into the bye, get some guys healthy back on the offensive side, I think we'll start finding that identity. But at the end of the day, as long as we find wins, like, you can find the identity. But the key part is finishing and finding a way to win the football game.
It starts on Kenny Stills so far.
No, it's been great, man. You know, just because he's a savvy veteran player. He's very familiar with this offense. And he's explosive. Like, you saw that in the reel that he had. Like, he's very explosive. So I enjoy having another deep threat target.
Along those lines, he was asked about, obviously, look, when you get Thomas back and things of that nature, I kind of titled this by, look, you're doing the best with what you have. And it's what I said. I'm not saying Callaway is not good. I'm not saying Deontay, but again, Deontay Harris is an all-pro kick returner. I understand he's trying to be a better receiver, and he's working on it. I get that. And we've seen some flashes from Callaway. But those are your two top receivers right now. Just, you're asking them to do something they haven't. They have four games under their belt. That's it. Winston.
I believe these guys, like, you know, Marquez and Chris Hogan. Like, we've had guys that stepped up in a amazing way. Kenny Stills, you know, I hate they call that touchdown back with him. We have guys that stepped up in a tremendous way. But obviously, defenses, they have to plan for our star players. You know, when you add Mike Thomas, when you add Tre'Quan Smith, you know, those guys, like, that's an alarm that's ringing. You know what I'm saying? Like, now they can't just focus on Alvin Kamara. You know what I'm saying? They got to focus on these other people that are around where they don't have much film. Like, they got a lot of film on Chris Hogan. They don't have much film on Marquez Callaway. They don't have much film on Deontay Harris. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the receiver position. So, as a defensive coach, you know, you're going to plan for what you see, you know? And that's why they plan a lot to stop Alvin. And that's why our guys have been stepping up in the past few games.
There it is. He's telling you. Telling you what I kind of said in a nicer way, right? Now, I know he's going with, well, you don't have the film on him, so you kind of, no. I'm firing my defensive coordinator for letting Alvin Kamara beat me. Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Chris Hogan, who was playing lacrosse at the start of camp. All of those guys are going to have 4 touchdown games for 2 weeks in a row before I start game planning for them. All right, you heard him, huh? I mean, you did catch that in the bite. He mentioned Michael Thomas. He mentioned Tre'Quan Smith. We haven't seen Tre'Quan Smith. One of the question marks was, is he ready to be the number 2 receiver? He hadn't played a down. That's why I said you got to wait to the midseason. I mean, past the midseason point. But there you go. That's the guy who's delivering the football. I mean, the guy basically said, I can't wait until I get receivers. Professional NFL receivers. Kind of just wondering where the offense is. Now, the other aspect of it is the trust. And how do you get Sean Payton to do more? Do you want to do more?
Well, I know I trust him with everything I got, you know, and I'm getting adjusted to his system. Like, this is his team. You know, he's been here for a long amount of time, so I have to fit in. You know, when you've had so much success as a head coach, you know, with your offense, with the way that you do things, I'm getting adjusted to that, and I've been loving it. I've been loving how efficient we've been being. I've been loving it. You know, having a lot off my plate. You know, but. Obviously, I want more, but that has to be earned. And week by week, you know, I'm going to have an opportunity to earn it.
There it is. We'll have a little bit more from that coming up in about 30 minutes. So we'll also hear from Cam Jordan. Lee Sterling is up next. Bottom of the hour, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. We'll take a look at last week's college football action and some of the bigger games coming up on this Saturday. Up next, though, Mr. Lee Sterling will take a look at what he thinks are big games this weekend. Next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's what pretty girls do. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Physical therapy for health issues or following an injury can be very beneficial and help restore your physical function. One form of physical therapy that makes exercise and treatment less painful and as a result more successful, leading to an improved quality of life, is aquatic therapy.
Aquatic therapy takes place in the water under the supervision of a trained therapy expert and uses water resistance instead of weights. People of all ages, including those with special needs and physical limitations, can benefit from aquatic therapy. It can even be used if someone does not know how to swim.
Thibodaux Regional is proud to offer cutting-edge aquatic therapy equipment. The HydroWorks therapy pool is designed to be very versatile so that a wide variety of patients with certain health conditions can be treated, such as paralysis, stroke rehabilitation, arthritis therapy and relief, post-surgical rehab, and so much more. What makes the HydroWorks therapy pool effective is its innovative use of technology to promote healing. One key element is the underwater treadmill. Using an underwater treadmill monitored by video cameras promotes proper gait and encourages correct biomechanics while walking or running underwater. Another key component is the movable floor. For patients with mobility issues, the HydroWorks Therapy Pool has a movable floor that makes it easy for children, older adults, or anyone with orthopedic conditions to get in and out of the pool without using steps or ladders.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Let me show you how our HydroWorks Therapy Pool can help keep athletes safely in the game. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process. Completing HydroWorks therapy workouts after an athletic injury can have the following benefits: increase mobility and strength, maintain fitness levels, decrease swelling, improve the balance and stability, and pain relief. Buoyancy allows for more range of motion and can increase joint flexibility. The warm water also helps improve circulation, relax muscles, and improve healing.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
985-493-4502 or www.thibodeau.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodeau.com.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Thursday around this time, we bring in Mr. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com, at Paramount Sports over on Twitter. Lee, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. If I did, you wouldn't want to hear about it.
I would say that. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things where...
Actually, things are good. Yeah, everyone always tells you they're doing great.
Yeah.
When probably half really not. People are telling you, yeah, right. They're having rough days.
That is very true. I'll say this. When I was surprised. I was surprised in certain games last week. I thought Arkansas would score. I thought, right. I legitimately thought Ole Miss was going to have at least a game. I told you I'm picking them to win. And that was an absolute, let me show you who daddy is, and go sit back down and you can go play with your toys type game by Nick Saban.
And then the up and down with the Saints. This is like a yo-yo with them.
Yeah. Trying to move on from that game, Lee.
It could be worse. You could be in Miami here, and I'm dealing with the Hurricanes and the Dolphins. If you want to switch, you know, we can switch teams.
That is very true. Is Flores in trouble there?
I don't think he's in trouble. I think that Greer, the general manager, is. Just look at the last three drafts. Swung and miss. I mean, how they didn't draft Herbert. That alone is a fireable offense. I mean, that's like the Drew Brees fiasco that they decided not to offer him a contract. They thought his shoulder wasn't going to hold up. So,
yeah.
I mean, we suffered for 15 years because of that. Now we'll probably suffer another 10 to 12 because of this. So I just think that the Dolphins and the Texans just need to make that trade for Watson. Just make it happen. Give each of the franchises some hope.
Interesting.
And that's what it is. You don't have to win a national title or a Super Bowl every year.
Right.
Fans want hope. And right now, the Dolphins and the Texans have none.
Well, I mean, to your point, just kind of look at one of the games this weekend and at Cincinnati, right? In Green Bay. I mean, in 2 years' time, you would have seen that matchup and Bengals fans like, oh my gosh, the massacre.
No.
2 years later, you're like, this might be fun. Gunslinger versus gun, right? I mean, and to your point, hope. I mean, Green Bay's clearly further along. But Cincinnati, you have hope that you can see. Same thing with Mac Jones and the Patriots last week.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, you can see, you know what? That kid's going to be good. Like, give them time, you know?
And a few more weapons, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Give them some time. All right. Alabama and Texas A&M, 15.5-point favorite, are the Crimson Tide here. Look, Jimbo, SEC Media Day, I'm getting you this year, all that other stuff. Oh, boy. Here it comes.
He could be victim number 25. 24 in a row, assistants have gone down. And his offensive line, I told everyone from the start, you lose 4 to 5 starting offensive linemen, it's really good ones, you're in trouble. And then Calzada, his quarterback, who, you know, wasn't his number one choice, he has to go with his backup for a few more weeks, just holding onto the ball too long. So Bryce Young's going to make him pay. Bryce Young's going to win this, the Heisman by default. There's no other second choice right now. And A&M's defense is good, just not Georgia good enough to keep the game close. Another Saban assistant goes down. That's number 25 in a row if you're counting. Down goes Jimbo. Alabama 45-14.
You mentioned the Bulldogs, 14.5-point favorite over the Auburn Tigers. We saw them pull out the win in Death Valley last weekend. But, man, that Georgia defense, there was a part of you, right, a part of you that said, well, who they really played, Vandy and all that. They're legit in terms of they just don't allow points.
No, they are stifling. So it's going to be a real problem here for anyone who's playing them. And I just don't think Bo Nix is going to be able to get away with freelancing here. I mean, it worked last week, and he threw up some tosses that I don't know how he did it, but it's not going to happen against this defense. Last year in that game, they only put up 6 points, lost 27-6. Georgia's better this year. They're allowing just 2.3 yards per carry, 4.7 yards per pass attempt. Teams are celebrating when they get 2 first downs in a row. They're allowing 23 points the whole season. So it doesn't make any difference if JT Daniels or Stetson Bennett quarterback. I mean, they're going to dominate here 34-7.
Speaking of Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, each and every Thursday we have him on. Kentucky and LSU, the Wildcats 3-point favorite. Awesome atmosphere. I mean, it was blue everywhere, taking on the Gators. I think if you don't win this one, and I'm speaking of LSU, Lee, I'm looking at that schedule. I mean, who are they beating, like, until after Arkansas? I mean, this could be
Ed Orgeron. I mean, and LSU, you know, they could be headed down the same path as Miami.
That's what I'm getting at. You know,
We could be fighting for the same head coach. So here's what happens, and I hear this from a lot of fans. They're like, do I want my team to win or lose? This is what happens after you've lost a couple games and you're out of it, and you know your coach is probably, you know, he's walking the plank. So it's going to be tough, but I think that, you know, I checked, how about this? Last time Kentucky was favored over LSU, 1999, the DiNardo era. I thought the Florida offensive play calling last week was poor. I just didn't think their game plan was good. Their execution was good. I always like LSU mentally off of a loss here. And now Kentucky is the hunted, not the hunter. LSU also 14-3 against this red run on the road. They seem for some reason to play better on the road of late. Maybe you come together in the team meetings and you're traveling together and you bond and I think they're the right side. I just don't think Kentucky can throw the ball well enough. Give me the Tigers here, 23-20.
All right, that brings us to Carolina and Philadelphia. And look, you saw earlier in that game, Sam Darnold, 2 rushing touchdowns. Dallas, too much, though. They're 3.5-point favorites against Philadelphia. They made some moves, obviously bringing in Stephon Gilmore in the defense. That kind of tells me the Panthers think that they're a legit playoff team in trying to make sure they don't lose many games.
I think they are, and they've given their fans, they've given their team hope here, and they're going to face a Philadelphia team, you know, that's going to have to run the football. Look at the last couple of weeks. Jalen Hurts, 326 yards passing against the Cowboys, lose by 21 points. He throws for 387 against Kansas City, still lose by double digits, 12 points here. So those 326 and 387-yard passing games, their stats, that's it. And Dallas ran right through the Carolina defensive front with success. That's how the Eagles have to do it. I don't think that they can do it. I think this team has too many weaknesses on the back end. Both of their offensive and defensive lines are beaten up. I mean, they've lost probably the top two guys on each unit here. Carolina is for real, 30-20.
All right, New Orleans, a one-point favorite now over Washington. Tyler Heineke's one of those guys who just sit there and go like, he's not that good. And he'll spin one way and make a play. Yeah. And he's just Bo Nix from last week. I mean, I just think of a guy like that. And this defense couldn't get to Daniel Jones. I don't know if you see that again this week. But that's a tough place to go win. And their D-line is solid. I'm leaning Washington in this one.
Well, I think the right side's New Orleans. Back and forth. Even though Tyler Heineke had... he threw for 138 yards, 10 for 13, and that comeback here, and acrobatic plays by Terry McLaurin and McKissick to get in the end zone. They're still not a complete team here. And the Saints, I mean, they're Jekyll and Hyde. There's no doubt about it. They did blow that 11-point lead with 7 minutes left. But I think that maybe they get Taysom Hill more involved here. You know, get him in 15, 20 plays at quarterback, line him up more in the slot here. He's an absolute weapon here. So I think we're going to see back to normal. I like the Saints here, 27-20.
I'm going to talk about the game in a week, but real quickly, not even really about tonight's game, which is the Rams in Seattle. But if Seattle loses, and let's say that the Hawks don't make the postseason, is Russell Wilson gone?
I think he finally is. Yeah. He's got to play so well for them to win. You know, they should have been losing by 14, 17 points at the half last week. So if you watch that game and you saw the final score, you're almost in disbelief. So scores can be very misleading, and they hit on two plays. You know, he ran one in, had a great run, and had a great pass play, you know, that worked. But other than that, they really didn't do much, and then the turnovers. So, I think we're going to see some more quarterback movement. And Pittsburgh are talking like it's a foregone conclusion that Rodgers is going to go to Pittsburgh. I don't see it. The Pittsburgh line is the worst line in the NFL right now.
Where do you think he goes?
Maybe back to the Bay Area. Yeah, maybe he goes to San Francisco. So maybe Trey Lance, goes to Green Bay. Be interesting.
Draft the Rodgers so far.
Crazy.
That pick is questionable. I don't know how many people, by the way, October 7th, thought the Browns and Chargers would be in a showdown afternoon game, 3-1, both teams. That's nuts. But, yeah, there they are, Browns and Chargers. The AFC has so many.
You got a quarterback.
Say,
you got
the
hope.
AFC
so,
has
they
quarterbacks.
They want to get that game or they want to get the Tampa Bay-Miami game. I'll give those two games for free. Just call 800-400-9741. We're having an incredible run this year. We've had some good years, but we were number one at covers.com last year, almost 40 handicappers in football, combined college and NFL. We were number one in hockey. We're number three right now in baseball. You can get a month, 4 weeks of football. We don't call it October. We call it Locktober here, $297. You want to get the baseball playoffs. We're having an incredible run the last 4 months, just $97 for the next 5 weeks of baseball playoffs. And if you want to join us also for the UFC, hockey, or basketball, everything's up and available. ParamountSports.com.
At Paramount Sports over on Twitter, each and every Thursday, 2:15, Mr. Lee Sterling. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. See you, guys.
Adios. Quick break. We come back. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. We'll delve a little deeper into college football next on ESPN New Orleans.
He's going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover, as always, on Thursdays. Appreciate the time given to us by Mr. Chip Patterson, CBS Sports. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are we feeling?
Doing well, man. I'm feeling sort of like, well, you know, LSU is... It's never good when you're like, losing may not be a bad thing because then change happens. That's never a good thing with your college football team, is it?
No, this is Circle the Wagon Saturday, Gus. This is backs against the wall. This is a gut check Saturday. I mean, when you introduced to me on principle that the Kentucky Wildcats are favored against LSU, not in basketball, in football, I mean, that is a sign of disrespect to where the Tigers are. And so while, like you hinted at, the long-range future of Ed Orgeron and LSU remains very much in doubt, I would be very surprised if LSU lays an egg at the big checkout line, Kroger Field, on Saturday night. I think that if they do, that accelerates what might be an inevitability. But, I mean, goodness gracious, have some pride, LSU. You're an underdog to Kentucky.
That is so interesting you use that word. I was sitting there Saturday night talking to my wife about it, and she's like, man, I don't understand what's the... I'm like, look, so I kind of went through my spiel as to why I feel certain ways. And Chip, the word pride, it was kind of the word that I kept using. I'm like, I look at that. Who is that leader? Who's there? Bo Nix, who literally said, I'm not losing this game. You benched me in the first quarter. I don't care. I have the ball now. I'm not losing this game. You don't see that, you know? And when you look at around college football and some of the other matchups, your top five teams and things of that nature, is always that one player or two or a sense that you're going to have to beat them until the clock shows, you know, triple zero. And I just don't see that at LSU.
It's something that's yet to be seen, right? Because we're not going to entertain the idea that Max Johnson is not our QB1, but is Max Johnson, has he been around long enough to be that leader in the locker room? I don't think that there's a really good answer. And I think that, you know, this is one of those situations where if you're an LSU fan, you hope that whoever, if LSU does have a, you know, gut check Saturday, circle the wagon Saturday, go out there and say, forget this, even with all of our frustrations, we're not going to lose to Kentucky. You know, whoever guides LSU to that potential victory might be your answer of who ends up becoming the face of the team the rest of the way, because the other scenario is the bottom falls out. Kentucky wins this game, and you just continue to see disappointment stack on top of disappointment, which, again, you know, leads us to this place where we have to really reconsider what the future of the program looks like.
Yeah, you look at that schedule, Chip. I'm having trouble feeling confident walking onto the field saying, okay, if they do what they do, they'll win. That's all I'm saying. So it's going to be very interesting to see moving forward. You said circle the wagons, gut check, backs against the wall Saturday. What's another game right after that? Obviously, here locally, it's LSU. What would you put next?
Nebraska hosting Michigan. Nebraska's been playing better football recently. You know, they played well against Michigan State and lost. They played well against Oklahoma and lost. And right now, they're 3-3, and a lot of models are projected for them to be 6-6. That is not the promise of a bowl game if the model only projects you to 6-6. And if you're Scott Frost and you miss a bowl game again, because don't forget, like, as much as we celebrated Scott Frost's move to Nebraska as a head coach, he has yet to make a bowl game in that time. And he made that move after the 2017 season. So I think that being able to have a Michigan team that is in the top 10 right now, looking at the point spread, knowing it's 3.5 points, and knowing that Michigan is a little bit one-dimensional. They run the ball very well, but they do not have a dynamic downfield passing attack. It kind of feels like a big-time gut check Saturday for Nebraska football, because a win here against Michigan at home, at night, under the lights, I think would go a long way to showing that locker room space that Scott Frost. You know, we keep talking about the future of the program, coaches on the hot seat. That if Nebraska wins against Michigan, that shows that that team is still fighting for Scott Frost. If LSU lays an egg at Kentucky, it's not a good sign for the locker room and, you know, trying to go out there and get it done for the head coach.
Expectations, I expected Ole Miss to make it a game, and then Saban said, here you go. I thought Arkansas would at least score against Georgia. They both faced each other at 11 a.m. in Oxford. Is this sort of let's just kind of get rid of that taste sort of game for both of these teams?
Negative. This is, let's look back at what happened the last time that Arkansas's defense, which you and I have talked about, is very unique. They rush 3, they drop 8. What happened the last time Arkansas's defense faced Matt Corral and Ole Miss? 6 interceptions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, I think this is a fascinating spot because Arkansas can win that game. I would pick Arkansas to cover the 6 if I absolutely had to. Kind of a no play for me, at least in terms of, you know, the Cover 3 podcast and other places where we make such picks. But I still think, like, it is more of a show me what you got, something to prove moment for Ole Miss than it is for Arkansas. And if the Rebels learn their lessons for, you know, all the struggles that they had in last year's game against the Razorbacks, then they should be able to win this game. They should be able to win this game by 7, 10, maybe even 14 points, because Arkansas is just limited in explosiveness, especially when stacked up next to the Rebels. But if Matt Corral doesn't have that Arkansas defense figured out, there could be more interceptions and more Ole Miss offensive struggles in the future.
Count Chipula. Never thought I'd call you that, but there you go. Oklahoma and Texas. OU favored by 3. How big is this game for Texas? Especially since I keep seeing reports that Arch Manning's narrowing it down and Texas is amongst one of the finalists. Like, you're going to have to win a big game here if you want Arch, huh?
Oh, I mean, without a doubt. But I think that more than anything, you've got to take this game and isolate it in terms of your expectations for both these teams. Because, you know, like, Texas has very frequently been an underdog in the series as Oklahoma has held control of the Big 12. But Texas has also done a good job as an underdog against the spread in this series. And I think that if you want the matchup that is going to determine who wins the game, it is how Oklahoma's defense defends Bijan Robinson. Because if you bottle up Bijan, then I do think that Texas's defense is not strong enough to be able to withstand that Oklahoma offense. And then it, like, brings back into focus something about this Oklahoma team that I think is very important, where we talk about the offense like it is really struggling with Spencer Rattler here in year 2 as a starter. And we talk about the defense like it's gotten a lot better in the time under the guidance of Alex Grinch. But when I really started to break down this game and I looked at it in terms of per play basis, per drive basis, like really get into the details on, you know, where this Oklahoma team is, the Oklahoma offense is just fine. I mean, it still ranks among the top 10 in the country in major statistical categories. And the Oklahoma defense maybe isn't as great as we think. And understand why this happens, because we expect Oklahoma's defense to be really, really bad, and we expect Oklahoma's offense to be really, really good. What I've found is that the Oklahoma offense is better than we think, just because we're expecting a Kyler Murray-led, you know, 60 points a game, and we're not getting it. But the Oklahoma defense, while it is better than it has been at its worst when they're ranking like number 118 out of 130 teams, they're also not that great. So I lean Steve Sarkisian, I lean Bijan Robinson, and I think Texas can go and win this football game.
I mean, this matchup, it's nuts. I really honestly don't know if around here, I guess I get it, but how many people legitimately know Iowa's number three? You know, it's like, I feel like no one's really talking about the Hawkeyes. Penn State's been in a big game already with Auburn, national TV, and all that. But here they are. They're meeting. Number four, Penn State. Number three, Iowa. How big is this? I'm trying to think of a bigger game for Iowa. I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years?
I mean, absolutely massive. There's, you can go back, I think, into the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
If you're trying to put together the five most important games in Kinnick Stadium. So you're not wrong by that at all. And it's funny because the reason why we haven't been talking about like number three Iowa is because the number three team keeps losing, right? The Clemson Tigers, the Oregon Ducks, Like we just keep striking off the number three team in the country as they keep taking these L's. I think that this is a game where when I look at them on a neutral field, I've got them power rated about the same. But I don't think this is a neutral field. I really think that Iowa at home, Kinnick Stadium, like it's probably going to be gray. It's not under the light, but because it is Iowa City at 3 p.m. local time, the lights are cutting on pretty soon, right? Like it's just going to be gray. Defenses dominate the game, and I think that just plays right into Iowa being able to win. Just again, I'm leaning on home field, and I'll give you one like X's and O's angle on this. So Penn State's defense is very good. You know, one of the top 10 to 15 units in the entire country. The way that that defense is built is with a lot of like length, versatility, athleticism, and playmaking on the back end of the defense. In other words, it's a defense that is really well suited to defend an Ohio State, a Maryland, these like wide open, spread you out, chuck the ball around kind of offenses. And that's just not what Iowa does. So Penn State is not as strong defending the run up front as they are in the backside of the defense defending the pass. So Iowa's weakness, which is the passing attack, doesn't end up playing into Penn State's defensive strength. So home field plus that one little matchup advantage. I mean, Gus, let's be honest. It's going to be 17-13, right? They got the over-under set at like 40-41. And I feel like I would favor the under on anything to 35.5. I mean, this is just a Big Ten punting field position rock fight. And with all that considered, that's why I'm going to go with the home team.
Okay. One of the things Saturday night, you have Alabama at A&M. All those injuries have really kind of taken this. I mean, you go back to SEC media days, Jimbo, he wanted this game in College Station. This was the year. I just feel, look, I mean, they're 18.5 point underdogs as Alabama comes in.
Yeah, and I'm trying to put myself in the mentality of the Texas A&M students, of the Texas A&M fans, and trying to consider again, like, where is the confidence coming from? Because every performance against a quality opponent since Haynes King went down with an injury has been less than impressive. And maybe you traveled to Dallas to go watch your team lose 20-10 in Jerry World. And then he came back home and you were like, okay, well, at least it's Mississippi State. Then Mississippi State broke into your house and stole all your cookies. And now all of a sudden you're riding a little bit of a losing streak and Alabama's coming to town. I just don't know where the confidence is. I'll say the first half is going to be huge because while Florida climbs back from that early deficit at home with Alabama in town, at least Florida has a little bit more confidence in its offense's ability to do that. Texas A&M's defense is very good. If Alabama scores fast and early, I just don't think there's going to be any confidence on the sideline, much less in the stands, that Texas A&M is built to overcome an early deficit.
No doubt. And finally,
yeah, the drums, they swing low, and the chits, they go.
It'll be beautiful watching the Eagles soar from the top. The crowd will be pumped up. I get it. But, Chip, there's one and there's two. And quite honestly, number two some nights look like number one. I mean, Georgia is impressive. I know Bo Nix did miraculous stuff on Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. This is a tall task, though, for them. Georgia's pretty good.
I had a cold shower introduced to me earlier today as I was talking up, like, Bo Nix. And I was like, we've seen Bo Nix go into Death Valley and work magic. We've seen Bo Nix go into Happy Valley, right? And, like, play all right. I don't think that I had any complaints about Bo Nix. But then someone said, okay, but Chip, let me read you some numbers. On the season, Bo Nix is still only 58% completion percentage. And a lot of that is thanks to performance early in the season when he was, like, 20 for 22. So while he has not had the kind of mistakes on the road that we have seen before against Penn State and against LSU, this is not still the kind of quarterback that you want to be saddling up with going up against the best defense in the entire country. I think it could be low scoring. I think that Georgia will almost certainly win the game, but a lot of like what the final score is going to come down to who ends up playing quarterback. Like, I just guess I get the sense that Kirby Smart is looking at the schedule and he's just thinking, don't rush JT Daniels back. Like, you know, these lat injuries, these oblique injuries, we see it in baseball where you might get rushed back and then you end up suffering further injury and then you got to be sidelined for a while. I just think that they're going to be very careful with JT Daniels, knowing that when they need him is going to be in Atlanta in December. It's not going to be even at Jordan-Hare Stadium here in October.
We'll see what happens over the weekend here. If any upsets or anything like that keep going, I'm kind of looking at everything, and I don't know, what would be the one game that maybe, as we wrap up, that at the end of the night, the one that's popping up is Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. Could Virginia Tech beat Notre Dame?
Without a doubt. So okay. Virginia Tech could beat Notre Dame, Rutgers could beat Michigan State, Nebraska could beat Michigan.
Okay.
Even though the quality of Notre Dame is absolutely in question, and even though the quality of Michigan State may be another debatable topic, I think Michigan is good, but are they number nine good? I don't know. But I just gave you three games, all with point spreads of 6 points or less, where we could end up waking up on Sunday morning and the headline is, you know, three top 14 teams lose. And I think that that's one of those situations where we're at this point in the season where you rise in the rankings if you just haven't lost. And one of the reasons why some teams haven't lost is because they haven't played enough tough games. So those are all spots where I think top 15 teams could lose, and I think that the point spreads reflect that possibility.
Yeah, and lose to unranked teams is that as well. Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ. What can people find this weekend, sir? Anything extra? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, all the I will be on the halftime show of both of our doubleheaders.
Nice.
So 3:30, Georgia-Auburn, 8 o'clock, Alabama-Texas A&M. I will be doing the halftime show of both of those games. So if you're streaming it on the CBS Sports app, if you're watching it for free on CBSSports.com, you will see my Muppet-looking mug giving you all of the ins and outs and what needs to happen for halftime adjustments for both of those games, in addition to college football pregame getting you set for the day on CBS Sports HQ. Watch it on the CBS Sports app, 11 a.m. Eastern time, any of your connected devices as well.
Get some rest now then, sir, because that sounds like a long Saturday. Thank you as always, man. Appreciate your time on Thursdays.
Yes, it is a very long Saturday, but we will find a way.
I hear you, man. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend at Chip_Patterson. Quick break, final segment of the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadieville. The Giants' loss still stings. Quarterback Jameis.